Well, we're still in our series of Revelation, and this is the sixth church, the sixth letter. So next week we'll be finishing this. This letter is to the church in Philadelphia, and I read that Philadelphia was not a large city, and it was plagued by earthquakes. It had been rebuilt several times. So they said a lot of the citizens chose to live outside the city. They didn't want to be in there when rocks and that started falling. The church in Philadelphia was a small church. It wasn't a large church. But you know or should know by now that the Lord can take a little and do a lot. This was the only other church besides Smyrna that Jesus had no rebukes for. No warnings, just encouragement. I've noticed something in my 34 years of reading the Word of God. He has a soft place for the underdogs. I've noticed that. The strangers, the widows, the orphans. He took a shepherd and made him a king. And that was not a real favored job in Israel. Shepherds were considered unclean because they slept outside a lot. They slept with the animals and they weren't allowed to go to a temple at certain times because they were unclean, and God took a shepherd and made a king. He took another carpenter and made a shepherd out of him, our shepherd. Our text this morning is from Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast to what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, pardon me, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Father, I thank you that your word is truth, that we have the Spirit of truth living within us, we your children, that you said he would take all things that are yours and share them with us, show them to us. You promised us, Lord, that you would continue to make God the Father known to us. And we thank you for that promise that we have in you. And we thank you for the person of the Holy Spirit who dwells within your children as a sign that we are yours. It's called a down payment by some. And Lord, it's your guarantee that you will finish the work that you have begun in us. I thank you for these great and precious promises. And as we read today of the church in Philadelphia, I pray that you will encourage our hearts and admonish us where we need it, Lord. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus begins by revealing some of his attributes to this church and to all the churches. And there are three that he names here. He says, the words of the Holy One. Jesus is the fountain of holiness. He is the source of holiness. The writer of Hebrews said that he becomes us such a high priest who is holy and undefiled, separate from sinners. In other words, he's not a sinner. Never has been, never will be. But Paul said in the book of Philippians that God became a man. And being found as a man, he humbled himself as a servant unto death, even death on the cross. And we know and believe from the testimony of the written word that Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father. All power and authority belongs to him. The Apostle Paul wrote that he will be on that right hand until all of his enemies are made a footstool, and the last enemy to be conquered is death. So here is the king of the church, of the universe, the shepherd, the chief elder, whatever office you would care to think of him as occupying in the church. Here he is saying, I'm the Holy One. That ought to be a comfort to us. That means that everything he does, everything he decides, is based on holiness. There's nothing selfish about Jesus. When he walked the earth, he put the Father first. He put us second, and he put himself last. And as I said in the introduction, I have noticed in my 34 years of reading this word, God has a soft place for the underdog. And Jesus here is speaking to a relatively small church and a very persecuted church. Two times, Jesus said, I know. And I've told you before that in the Greek, in the Hebrew, when they say, I know, it's not a head knowledge. He's not saying, I see what's going on. He's saying, I experience your pain. I experience your grief. Isaiah said he was a man acquainted with sorrow and with grief. Jesus' own family didn't believe in him. It said his mother thought he was a little off. That's what it says. She thought he was beside himself. That's a little bit off. Boy's porch light's on, but I don't think anybody's at home. You know, how would you like your family to say that about you? If you were sharing your faith with different people, and somebody said to your mother or father, boy, that kid of yours really wound up. Yeah, he's on that Jesus trip now. He's just a little off. You know, it'll be all right. How would you like that? I wouldn't like it. I don't think I'd care for that. But we live in a God-hating world, church. We need to understand that. You and I are in enemy territory. We've been left here for a reason. I was at a wedding yesterday, and the groom's father, at the end of the wedding, when the preacher finally shut up, he got up and he come up and he said, I want to ask y'all to do something. Those who will, come up here and lay hands on the bride and groom and let's pray for them. I said, well, I can pray from here. I don't need to lay hands on people. Not that I don't believe in that, but I'm just too lazy to get up and walk up to the front of the church. And he starts praying his prayer over, and he said something that I caught. Oh, God, give them an easy life. You might as well ask a tree to ask God to give you an easy life. I thought, Dad, the fact that these two have become one, let the battle begin. Marriage is not an easy life. Living in this world is not an easy life. Yeah, I used to chase that high. That's how I dealt with the difficulties of the world. Now I walk after the Spirit. Man, I found a peace in Jesus Christ I've never known. And today I hear many people accuse God of being unjust and unfair, and he doesn't understand. Why would he do that? Why would he allow this? Wait a minute. It says in Hebrews that since the children partake of flesh and blood, he too partook of it. God wanted to know the experience of humanity, and he does.
change. Their hearts hasn't changed. You know what that proves? You don't know him. The religious people in Jesus' day started talking to Jesus about how they knew God, and Jesus called them liars. But here he's talking to a group of Christian believers that do know him, and he said, I know what you're going through. What a God! Yeah. Well, then why didn't he take him out? To start to say his high priestly prayer, Jesus said, Father, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. Why not? That's what I think sometimes. Why don't you just take me out? You brought me in, you can take me out. So I got a job to do. You got a job to do. If you're a child of God, you got a job to do. What? To bear witness to the world that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come to God except through him. Muhammad won't get you there. Buddha's not going to get you there. Rationalism isn't going to get you there. Humanism definitely isn't going to get you there. It's only through the person of Jesus. And once you come to know him, you're not supposed to keep that to yourself. I call Christianity today, we got a closet. I'll just be a Christian. I'll cause trouble. All the sinners are coming out of the closet. The church is running in. Let me in. This is the church that is reaching out to where they live. They're living as witnesses for Christ. How do you know that? Because of the things going on at this time. I already told you that most of these cities had trade guilds. And in order to get a job, it's like the unions today, you had to belong to one of those guilds, and every guild picked a pagan god to worship. So now you're a carpenter in a trade guild, and all of a sudden you find Jesus Christ. And then you realize he's the only Lord there is. He's the only God there is. And you go to your union brothers and say, man, I found Jesus. And they say, well, you can't stay here. Jesus or this? Well, I picked Jesus. And you're out. And that meant you couldn't get work, not in your trade. Jesus said, these Jews in this area are in the synagogue of Satan. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. That's a harsh thing to say. Today, Jesus was here, and he said that to be all over evening news. Jesus is anti-Semitic. The Romans, especially under Nero, no, I take that back, Augustus Caesar, the first one, when he died, somebody claimed they saw a falling star, which meant that Augustus Caesar was a god. And he was ascending into heaven. Well, wait a minute. I thought a falling star was falling down, not going up. But they said, the divine Augustus. So the Romans, through the Senate, I've told you this before, the Senate could declare you a god if you were an emperor of Rome and you died and they liked you especially. They'd say, well, he's a god. He can't help you. Don't pray to him. He doesn't care, but he's a god. The Jews were exempt from emperor worship. You see, Nero was the first emperor in Rome that said, hey, I don't want to be worshipped in the by and by. I want to be worshipped now. And the Senate said, well, okay. And every year, in every Roman colony, every Roman city, every mud hole, wherever you happen to be, once a year, you had to burn incense to a bust of the Caesar, and you had to bow your knees and proclaim, Caesar is my Lord. And in saying that, you said, I am a slave to Caesar. They didn't ask the Jew said, confess Caesar as Lord, and they would say, Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I'm his slave. And they killed him. Jesus wasn't anti-Semitic. You see, the Jews denied that the Christians were worshiping the same God they worshiped. And that's why he said, I know what you're going through. That I'm going to bring these people, and they will fall at your feet. Now, not to worship. The commentators say that Jesus was saying, I'm God, and I'm going to bring these Jews to you, and I'm going to say, I have loved them. They are my chosen people. Do you know the church is the chosen people of the Lord, beloved? Do you know that? We got a lot of gurus today saying that Israel's still the chosen people. Now, God has not forgot Israel. Paul said, has God rejected Israel? God forbid, for I myself am an Israelite. But what did he say? He's turned his attention to the Gentiles. Make the Jews jealous by a foolish nation. Thank you, God. That's really flattering for me. And you're saying, I save these fools to make you jealous. But Jesus takes the persecution of when he approached Saul on the road to Damascus, he didn't say, why are you persecuting my church? He said, why are you persecuting me? It's kind of like if you're getting bullied and your big brother steps up. And all of a sudden that bully's, all of his dirty thoughts have left. He doesn't want any trouble. Jesus says to this group of Christians, this small group, I know you're suffering. I know what you're going through. I've been there. And I want to assure you of something. You are my people. I do love you. Someday, those who mock you, kill you, confronted with the truth that you were killing God's people. They stand before the white throne, and Jesus Christ is seated there in all his glory. Oh man, I slapped him in the mouth. I hope he's forgot about it. You haven't? Oh boy. Spit on him. Sorry about that. Oh, it's too late to be sorry. Okay. I told you that I was the Son. Coming in glory. Call me a liar. The world hates God. They hate the church, the real church. There's a lot of churches in this country that have got so compromised you can't tell them apart from the world. They're worldly. Paul said they have a form of being a Christian, but they deny the power of a form of godliness. We believe in Jesus. But we believe I can still smoke weed and believe in Jesus. I can still do meth and believe in Jesus. I can still cheat on my wife and be a believer. I can still be a drunk or a homosexual and I believe in Jesus and that clears me of all charges. I don't know what book you're reading, but I'm reading a different one. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Born from above. How's that happen? You call on him and him alone. You come to God empty-handed with all your problems, your broken life, and say, here, it's all I have to offer you. And he says, I'll take it. And this is what he did here. And now the world is coming down on his people because they are conscious to their city. They're able to stand and say, this is right, this is wrong. God is God. There's no other God. And people didn't like hearing that. Jesus said, I am the truth. He that is true. And this means he who is the fountain of all truth. Remember what Jesus said to his men? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You know, today he's called intolerant for that. Do you know that today Christians are called intolerant? If we dare say in public, Jesus is the only truth, everything else is a lie. How dare you say that? That offends me. I'll just go home and be offended. I made a decision several years ago. I ain't never been politically correct, and I ain't going to try to be politically correct. I'm going to say what I think and let the chips fall where they will. Why did Jesus reveal himself as the true one? What's Satan's favorite tool, church? Lies and doubts. Did God really say? And these people are standing on his word and on their testimony. And Jesus said, I'm the one you're believing in, and I am the truth. He said, someday I'm coming back. I love that passage. John 14. My Father's house, there are many rooms. I go to get one ready for you. I tell you that because if I go away, I'm going to come back and get you. It's the picture of a groom being engaged to a woman, and he would go home with dad, and he would build a room onto the house. And when dad looked at it and said, it's done, then he'd go get his wife. It's a beautiful picture. And Jesus said, I'm going home, and I'm going to get you guys a room ready. Now, if this earth took 7 days for the Lord to create, and he's been working on heaven for 2,000 years, what must that look like? Wow. But Jesus encourages them. He said, I am the truth. You're right. Stand your ground. Truth doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love this encouragement. He said, I'm the one that has the key of David. I'm the one that has kingly authority. David could close the city of Jerusalem anytime he chose to. He could exclude people or accept them as the king. And Jesus says to his church, I got the key. I say who comes in. I say who don't come in. Don't do doesn't. I'm trying to get better with my English. I say who doesn't come in. So I've opened a door for you. That says if he's the one with the key, he's the only one that can shut it. What kind of a door do you think? Still out there sharing the gospel with your sin. You're dying for it. You're losing everything you own for it. But you're still doing it. You won't quit. So Jesus said, in my mercy, I've opened this door. I've given you the power and conviction of the Holy Spirit. Speak my word, boy. He'll take it there and he'll grab it by their hearts. And shut up. Jesus liked that. He said, you just got a little bit of power. You're a little church. Not many people were rushing to get into your building on Sundays because that's a little church, you know. They got a guy playing guitar for worship music. And he ain't that good of a player. All the sound equipment and black lights and fog. Woo-hoo! Just because the church is big doesn't make it spiritual. Just because the church is little don't make it dead. A little ragtag bunch of Christians love Jesus Christ. Not only do we love them, but they love him because they were sharing him. That's what a Christian is. Well, what makes you a Christian? A Christian is somebody who Boy, the ones that are coming love me, and I love them. Hold the door for them. That's a promise to grow the church. You don't read anything like that. He doesn't say, I'm going to take your persecution away. Why? Because our faith is developed during trials. That's part of Christianity. And I don't want to hear it preached. I'm afraid to say it because I might lose my paycheck. Told you last week that Jesus said if they love me, they'll love you. If they listen to me, they'll listen to you. And I'm praying, Lord, send me the people who will listen. That'd be cool. You know who I find more attentive to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Bad sinners. Hardest people to reach good news. Those that have grown up in church. And they say, I've never smoked a cigarette or took a drink. I never went to the movie. I never did this. I never did that. Well, what are you doing? You want to measure Christianity by negative? That ain't going to get it. Jesus will not sit at the judgment seat and go, well, Rick, you never did this. You never did that. You never did this or that. I'm going to let you. Parable of the master that gives his servants so many talents apiece. One he gives 10, one he gives 5, one he gives 1, each according to their ability. And when he came back after a long time, he called them in, said, what'd you do with my money? First guy said, well, I traded it with money traders and it's gained 10 more pounds. Well done, good and faithful servant. The other guy said, well, I invested your 5 pounds and it's gained 5 more. Well done. And the other one said, Lord, I know you're a hard man. You take up where you don't plant. You reap what you didn't sow. And I was afraid, so I hid your money in the ground. Here's your pound. The other two were able to stand before their master and said, this is what I did. This guy sitting there said, this is what I didn't do. What Jesus say to him? Wicked and lazy servant. You knew I expected a return on my investment. You should have put that in the bank. Then I could have drawn some interest. Okay? And yet today, a lot of us measure our Christianity by what we don't do. Well, I believe in Jesus, and I don't smoke, drink, or chew, and run with them to do. Well, Mormons don't smoke. They don't drink coffee. I like my coffee too much. Jehovah's Witness don't smoke or drink alcohol. They don't go to movies. One of them going to heaven. Now, I'll just probably get somebody mad. Said, okay. I'm going to tell you the truth. That ain't true. Jesus was talking to a group of Christians that have the truth, he says. And they lived among a people that believed there were thousands of different gods. Many paths that lead to God were all going in the same direction. Not anymore, I ain't. I'm going up because of Jesus Christ, not because of me. I get down. I get discouraged. I get the feeling sometimes that God doesn't care. He's not listening. I heard some pretty wise words on the movie. God's not dead too. And his teacher was being tried because she talked about Jesus in class because it was a question. The ACLU people got up there and they're trying to carve. She's talking to her elderly father, and she said, I don't feel God. I'm praying and he's not talking. He said, you're a teacher. You know how it is. Teacher's quiet during the test. Wow. sometimes when the Lord's quiet, not that He's abandoned you, He's watching you. He says, let's see what happens with it. Well, I don't like that. Well, too bad. That's how God deals with His people. I'd hate to see how He treats somebody you don't like. Doesn't like. Talking to one church. The devil's getting ready to throw some of you. You're going to have trials for 10 days. Faithful unto death. Well, wait a minute. What do you mean? I'm going to prison and die? Yeah, after 10 days of torture. Die. Be patient. Be faithful. When we go through the rough times, where are you at? Why are you doing it? Why do you allow this? Dr. James Dobson wrote a book I read. It was called When God Doesn't Make Sense. Talked about that as Christians. I have questioned my faith. I've been thinking whether God was really there or not. The group that is being intensely persecuted, killed, forfeiting their property. I know what you're going to. I have blessed. He reassures them, I am the true one. What you're believing is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing. Don't back down. Don't let anybody take you. Apostle Paul warned us about that. Well, we believe it. Have a crown, you can't lose. What you want, you can believe in the Lord. Oh, that don't make it so. The Lord said you can lose. I've learned something in 20 years as a minister. People come to Jesus for all the time. We have a saying in ministry, everybody in jail gets saved. You go to jail and there's these guys there, some of them's facing some serious time. You talk to them about Jesus, you know what they see? Doubt. I can tell the judge didn't like it. But if you'll check with them a year later, very few of them have followed that out. They haven't been baptized into Christ. They have not affiliated themselves with the body of believers. I had a lady the other night and was talking to, and she told me, I used to go to church. You know. But I heard you're a pastor, and I said, yes. I'm a part-time milk hauler and part-time. There it is. She said, well, I used to go to church with them. But I don't think I got to go to church to be a Christian. Well, yeah. Commanded in the Bible, if you are a Christian, the Bible truth to people, they're just going to wrap their arm around you and give you a big old sloppy kiss. Most of the time, they get offended. Well, I didn't, but who are you to say something like that? I'm not anybody, man. I'm quoting Jesus Christ. Here's the church. Again, I'm just going back to this timeline. Here's the church of a small group of Christians, but they're not quitting. They count glorifying and honoring Jesus Christ far better than anything else they could have. They've given, most of them have given up their belongings. I heard a man named Ron Carlson, years back, preacher, itinerant preacher, missionary, going to China. And he was talking in a university. He said a young Chinese man approached him and said, "I understand you're going to China." And he said, "Which part, which city?" And so I told him, he said, "My mom and dad live there. Could you do that?" Brother Carlson said, "Yeah. Bible. They don't have a Bible." And my dad was an engineer. And had a big house and a two-car garage. Mom and Dad both had cars. Very unusual. He taught engineering in a university. Made good money. He got saved. And he said the Communist Party leader in our district heard about it. Brought him in his office and sat him down and said, "Now you know that your loyalty belongs to the state, not to any Jesus." Denying him. "Or we're going to take your house and your cars out." Dad looked at that guy and said, "No." When Carlson got there, he said, living in a one-room apartment over a store or something. Said, "I come in there and the son called and told me he's coming." He said, "They were very gracious. He said, I know it was probably 2 or 3 days worth of food they prepared set on their table, fed me." And he said, "I got to visiting with them. They spoke English." And he said they were so excited about the Bible. And the dad said, "I lost mine over 20 years ago." He said, "The police came in one night and raided my house after they took my job and everything. And they found my Bible. And they took it." Carlson said, "You haven't had a Bible for 20 years. He said, he pulled an old hymn book out of a chest. He said, they forgot this, though. They didn't find it. He said, for 20 years, my wife and I, every night, we read these hymns." Carlson said, "Do you have a favor?" He said, "Oh, that's easy." He said, he turned to the page, started singing, "I have decided to follow Jesus. The world's behind me, cross before me, no turning. That's been my life." It would be tempting for that man to quit and say, "What has it got me?" In fact, I read when Mao Zedong took China over, he began slaughtering Christians. A lot of Chinese Christians renounced their faith because the missionaries told them, "You won't suffer. Jesus is going to pull us up." Said, "You lied to us." Boy, there's a godly man here. Arguing at my house, he's getting a job. He worked in a 20 years later, God sent him. Wow. Now that's a God of character. Believe that?
Yeah.
He sent a messenger, preacher, and said, here's your Bible. Why did it take 20 years? I don't know. I'm not God. Jesus loves you so much that he shed blood for you. You can be free. He didn't do anything to die for, but he died so you can be free. He was tried in the kangaroo court. There were 23 Jewish laws broken in his trial. If he just spoke up one time, they'd have had to declare a mistrial and start all over again. But he didn't, because he had to die. How can we not trust a God like that? And yet I'm telling you, I'm confessing to you, there are times in my life I still question, ask, is it worth it? I'm going to open a door for you. Strong, as little as you are. One day, he said, I'm going to make you a pillar, my God. And I'm going to write three names on you. The name of my God, my name, the name I have. Dr. Clark said that they believe Jesus was referencing to the pillars, main pillars in the temple. And on them, inscribed in Hebrew, were two words, truth, security. Here's a group of Christians that live in a town called Farlock. Said, I'm going to make you a pillar in my temple. That can't be shaken. I'm going to write the name of the privilege. Why is he going to write his name on it? To show that they're his. Those are my people. But there's no crown until you carry your cross. That's the way it works. That's Christianity. I told the Lord, if you don't make a very good recruitment poster, come follow me and your own family might hate you. You may have to give up your life or your job. Sign me up. Not a lot of people say that. We'll close next week at Laodicean Church. That's not a very comforting message. You know, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, why don't you take care of that before you leave? You don't have to do good works. The Bible says you're changed. God's right and you're wrong. You stop arguing. Admit to him that you're a sinner. You ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, to come into your life and be your Lord, and you promise to follow him to the end. I was talking to somebody this past week. I said, how's the church doing? I said, well, we're doing all right. Are they growing? Some. Don't you think you need to retire with all your health problems? I know you can get Social Security. Think about it. Retire. I said, I think about it every day. But I said, there's a problem with that. Every time I ask God, he says, no. Christian and you're going through struggles, pray. If you want the elders to pray, we'll come pray with you. Going through struggles doesn't mean God doesn't love you, and it doesn't mean he's mad at you. It means welcome to the real world. If you need to make a decision for Christ, would you come as we sing our song of invitation? You need to be prayed for anything.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. And this is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe.
Jesus Christ doesn't want to be a part of your life. He doesn't want to be the most important part of your life. He wants to be your life.
Amen.
That's what we need to do, church. Submit ourselves to him and say, you are my life. You're my source of life. Are there any prayer requests you want to bring to the Bible? Brian Ferris' dad passed away, and we're having a memorial service tomorrow. So be praying for Brian's family. Yes.
Darren told me last night
to
Tucson and asked me for prayer for Willow Jackson. She's 18 years old. She's an autistic child that belongs to Friends of Fear. And she is, her kidney function is 20% or something, and they're running tests, and they have to put her on that. 18 years old. She's a very sweet little girl. We've met her.
Any other prayer?
Lord, again, we just thank you so much for the beautiful day you've given us, and Father, we have a lot of prayers that we need to give out, and we want to pray for John, and he has a successful operation tomorrow, and they make him heal up. And Father, there's so many others that we need to mention and take care of, and Lord, we just know every day in our prayers that we do this. And Father, we thank you so much for Rex this morning as his message, and Lord, just be with this church, and you know us. Father, we're not going to give up. And Father, just thank you so much for the blessings that you give each and one of these families. Be with them this week as we go through our week struggles. And Father, we just thank you so much for life. And this lady that's going to have go through dialysis, Father, I just pray for her, and I know the problems she's going to go through. And Father, I just pray so much for her. And Father, we just thank you so much for your dear love. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I love